This morning. Well, I hope you are doing well and that your feet were stable as you came into church this morning and left your homes. It was a little slippery last night getting here for 6 o'clock services and a little slippery this morning coming in. But what a joy it is. Some of us, at least Eric and I, have been chuckling this evening, there's a great event on TV taking place. What is it? The Oscars. Well, we're kind of having our own little Oscar this morning because the color of the carpet is. And so shortly, as we begin this, continue in the season of Lent, it's been the tradition here that the disciples will come either one by one or two by two and offer to us some words concerning the season of Lent. And so this morning, Eric Platt, you see listed there, he will be walking on the red carpet wearing a beautiful blue tunic, and his designer is Nancy Wallace. Just so you're all aware that I believe all of them will be wearing and displaying Nancy Wallace tunics this year. Nancy, thank you. I didn't give her a heads up warning that we were going to be talking about her. I'm glad you're not one of my kids because it cost me $20. You know, that's the way it goes. But I didn't hear what she said. Oh, I owe you $10. Okay, well, that's better. My kids charged me $20 when I mentioned them. And I talked about Abby last night, but that was part of the participation in the audience. So she tried to get $20 out of me, but she's not getting it. But as we come together this day and celebrate all the gifts, the blessings, the laughters, those high moments, those low moments, may the presence of Christ always rest upon us. And so may the peace of Christ be with you. And so let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbors.
Good morning. I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning, and especially any visitors. And if you are a visitor this morning, just a reminder, you are welcome to see an usher for some church information, or if you so choose, we have some welcome packets hanging on a shepherd's crook in the narthex. Also, as a reminder, please sign the red registration or the registration sheets in the red folders located at the end of your pew and pass it to others in the pew and bring it back to the center aisle. If you do have a prayer request this morning, there are 3x5 index cards in those folders. Please complete your information on that card and put it in the clear holder. Our ushers will bring it forward to Reverend Lake. I would now like to highlight a few announcements. A reminder, although it is quite warm, balmy temperatures this morning, but canceling Sunday services. For those that were here last week, Reverend Lake reminded us that unless it's a state-sanctioned closing that everyone must remain off the roads. Anytime it is cold weather, we will have church services. Again, unless it's state mandated to stay home, there will always be services here at First Church. Reminder from the Finance Committee, if you ordered Easter candy, your money is due today. If you have any questions, please see Laurie. Also a reminder from Diane, the Living Last Supper yard signs may be picked up today, and they are in the narthex, and that's the advertisements for our Living Last Supper that will be presented here during Holy Week. And there are also posters that you can put inside a facility, and also pocket reminders, pocket invitations, that if you see someone on the street or a friend, just a little reminder that can be tagged on the refrigerator. There are pocket reminders as well. Also, summer camp news. Laurie, our camp steward, has asked that I make the announcement that the camp brochures are in, and you can pick up your information in the narthex regarding all three of our United Methodist camps. And also a reminder that the church does have camp scholarships, so financial issue we would hope would never be a problem if you or someone that you know is interested in going to camp. So that is a reminder from Laurie. If you have any questions, please call Laurie. Chris has an announcement.
Good morning. I just wanted to let everyone know it hasn't really been in the calendar. I've mentioned it a couple of times, and it's not in the bulletin today. But for those of you that signed up for the lay servant classes, they start today at 2 o'clock. And this year they will be held at Charter Oaks Church on Fry Road in Greensburg, I believe. It's Greensburg, Jeanette. So they start at 2 o'clock today, and they continue for the next three or four Sundays. If you have not signed up or are not attending, please say prayers for those that are. They need your encouragement and your support. I also wanted to make an occasional routine announcement. We still need lots of help. We need worship hosts. We need ushers. We need sound technicians. We need members in the choir. If any of those interest you, please, please don't hesitate to volunteer, to step up. You could see myself, the pastor, Diane, or Tracy, and we will get you to the right person to get you involved with what you're interested in. Don't worry if you don't have a clue as to what to do. We will train you. Don't worry if you can't sing. Don't worry. Most of us can't. You'll fit right in. It's something that you should pray about and something that you should really consider and take to heart, serving God and serving your congregation and church. But please, see any one of us, and we'll help you through it.
Now that we've started Lent, I decided to wear a hat today to combine the seasons. We're preparing for the blackness of Good Friday, but most importantly, we are preparing for the joy of Easter Sunday with the Easter lilies. Now, why am I wearing a hat? Nobody wears a hat in church anymore. Because the Sunday after Easter is Holy Humor Sunday, and that's Holy Humor Hat Sunday. So I need you to start putting on your thinking caps and start designing your hat for that day. Now, you wear it during church, but this year we're going to do something a little bit different. After the second service, we're going to have a Holy Humor lunch, and we'll have a fashion show of all of the wonderful hats that you wear. And for you cooks out there, we need you. It's going to be potluck lunch. We'll have the drinks and we'll have the paper products, but I need everybody to bring a dish. Now, it's a Holy Humor dish. It might be green eggs and ham. It might be upside-down lasagna. think of something. Now, you might just want to put a goofy name on something. It has to be edible, preferably. So start thinking about that and bring a service for, 10 or 12 people. Cook enough for that. And that'll add an extra day of sociability and celebration for Holy Humor Sunday. That's the Sunday after Easter, so that would be April 12th. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Diane. You never know what's upcoming here in First Church. But something that is edible, a reminder, the Spud Bar. We are planning a Spud Bar on Friday evening, March 6th, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Now, this will be held in conjunction and part of our church talents. If you remember back in September, October, when you came and took some money here from the altar to multiply that, this is one of the ways. So all monies, all proceeds from the dinner will go to our church. And, of course, volunteers are needed to make that a success. Please contact Krista or Deb. And just a final reminder to check your bulletin for additional announcements and scheduled meetings as they pertain to the life of our church.
During the weeks before Christmas, we anticipate, we celebrate the anticipation of the coming of the Christ child with candles. One by one, during the season of Advent, we light the candles of peace, hope, joy, and love. And they are lit in preparation for the beginning of Christ's life on earth. And all of this comes to its celebration on Christmas Day, a holy day when we light the center white Christ candle as well. It represents the light of Christ shining in the world, living in our midst, coming forth to save us, and inviting us into its warmth. It indeed is a joyous season. Today we are in another season that began Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. the season of Lent. Lent is the season before Easter. It is in some ways the opposite of Advent. It is a sober season. It is a time for preparation for the coming of Christ's Passion Week. And during Lent, we tune in to the dark days that got darker and even darker and ended in Christ's death.
I am Philip. I remember that they were days of suffering and rejection, of betrayal and conflict. They were days that ended with the extinguishing of the light of the Christ candle that was lit for us on Christmas. We know now that Christ's light would be rekindled and lit again in each of us. But in these coming weeks, let us tune in to the darkening days of Lent as we, one by one, extinguish the candle set before us until, finally, on Good Friday, the flame on the Christ candle dies.
Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. In life and death, baptism and flood. From hunger and torment, demons and wild beasts. With grace and mercy, forgiveness and compassion. Please remain standing and join in our unison prayer printed in your bulletin. Painter of rainbows amidst the clouds, set your bow once more in the sky and remind us that your love and mercy are far greater than your righteous anger. As we enter the season of Lent, remind us anew of your saving grace and of our chance for rebirth through the cleansing waters of our baptism. Amidst the storms and floods of life, teach us the ways of life and death, that we may use this season as a time of gratitude for the past and a time of hope for the future. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 154 in your red hymnal.
Amen.
Good morning. How is everyone? Did you play out in the snow yesterday?
No.
Did you sled ride?
No.
You made a snowman. High five. You are the first one. Did you help?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What's that? You made your own. How big? And did you put buttons on down the front? Eyes? A nose? What'd you use for the nose? Blueberries. Where did you find blueberries? In the refrigerator. I always used a carrot for a nose. Yeah.
No, she used it.
Oh, blueberries for the eyes. Okay. Oh, I see. But no sled riding yesterday. There were two boys walking down our street yesterday. And the one little boy would throw his sled in the brown slush and then jump on it and go about 2 feet. And I thought, ew, too. Yeah, I think there would be better, cleaner snow to sled ride on. So have you ever gone on a sled ride?
Yeah.
Down a hill?
No, it was too cold.
It was too cold? Well, that's when you put 6 layers of socks on, 3 layers of pants, 14 coats, and then you're like this. And then you know what you do? You say, Mom, I forgot to go to the bathroom. Yeah. When we were little, I had a pony. And so her name was Dolly. We'd saddle her up and put the bridle on her. And then we would get, we called them mini boggins. They were sheets of plastic, hard plastic. And we'd take a rope, like, from here to the first pew. And maybe I'd get on the pony and would put the rope around the saddle horn. And then one of my, either my older brother or younger brother or sister would get on the mini boggin. And Dolly would go for a run. Pulling that person. And then she would take a corner, and that person would go flying out like a water skier and usually would go rolling off. Or if we went on the paths behind the woods, when there was a certain bend you came around, I don't know why she never fell. God only knows why the horse didn't fall, because if she'd go around that bend, this is not nice, I'm well aware of it. But I'm just remembering, you know, You knew if you were on a mini boggin, just let go. Because it'd go around that bend and the brush, you know, with the red brush and the twigs and thorns that would hit your brother in the face. See, I'm even laughing about it now. And it's not funny because we'd give each other welts on the face that weren't covered. You just have to hold on. But it was just far better to let go and walk home instead of going into the bushes, which we would do to each other. I did it to them. They did it to me. So I'm going to have to text them this afternoon. Remember when we put each other into the bushes riding the pony on the mini boggin? Because it would hurt. And God only knows why we didn't smack our heads on things. One of my brothers broke a collarbone going down because we were sledding in the woods and hit a tree. That's not the best thing to do. When you go sled riding, you go down a hill without any trees so you don't hit anything. Yes. Later on, we're going to talk about the temptations and how Jesus protected himself. Now, you probably now, when you ride a bike, do you wear a helmet? All right. If you don't, you should. And you know, we have those things to protect us because our heads are pretty important. And we have God, we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit to be with us, to walk with us every day, and to protect us as well. So remember, you're never alone. You've always got Jesus with you. And I want you to remember that every single day. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are thankful. We pray that they will continue to grow in your spirit within your kingdom and be with their moms and dads, their grandmas and grandpas, their teachers, everyone that cares for them during the day. For we pray, O God, that they might live and grow and always remember that you are always with them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
There stands a tree where the flow of God's mercy pours out for me in a flood. On a hill far away, the man of all sorrows pays for my life with his blood. Purchased by Lord, but with a price, my death has sacrificed. And the wood and the nails bear the flesh of his love. On that cross I was purchased by love. So here now I stand, all my sin and my sorrow forgiven by mercy untold.
On that old rugged cross, the man who was blameless spilled out his life for my soul.
Thank you, Diane and choir. Our responsive reading this morning is found on page 756 of your red hymnal, Psalm 25. Please recite your response after my prompt. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame.
Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I pray all the day long.
Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies.
At this time, I ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you. ever-giving God, as we bring our gifts to your altar, we confess our need for repentance. We have often let the call of the world drown out your call in our lives. Help us to move through this season with repentant, generous hearts, so that we might not just see your great blessings on us, but see ways to be blessings to others. In the wonderful name of Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Come to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns for individuals and situations in our midst. If you would turn on the back of our worship folder, you can read our prayer list there. An update on some things. Hazel, as far as we know, is still in Westmoreland Hospital, but at any moment, even today or in a day, is going to be going to Ball Dock for physical therapy. To get her back on her feet and strengthened and back home again. Ron is home, and Barry Friday was to go to Golden Heights in Monroeville. So we'll want to remember those individuals and their families as well. This cold and snow that have their grip on us, I think in the last week or so, I've seen individuals on their roofs with snow blowers. I'm not so sure that the insurance company would be in favor of that. I saw somebody on the news this morning up on a ladder with an axe chopping away at the ice on their eaves spout. I'm not so sure that that's the best thing to do either. But we'll talk in the beginning of the sermon. We always do not do those things that are probably the best choices to do. And so for those individuals, in the midst of this cold, all of us, be safe even, as the temperature drops today. There's going to be lots of ice with the rain that we had. So be safe, be careful, and let us remember those individuals around the country and the world that are cold. As we were driving the other day, someone said, "Boy, I am especially glad during this time of year that I'm not homeless." So we need to remember those individuals in our cities and inner cities that have no home to go to and are out in a warming center or a shelter just to keep warm and hopefully to get some warm and food in their bellies as well. So let us continue our service as we unite our hearts and our spirits. Our prayer hymn number 252, "When Jesus Came to Jordan."
Thank you.
Our gracious and loving God, this season of Lent has begun. A season to remember that we are human and we are in need of your grace and your forgiveness. We are in need, O God, of your presence in our lives. For you are the one who seeks to guide us, to direct us. You are the one, O God, that offers to us hope and good news through your Son, Jesus Christ. You are the one, O God, who offers to us teachings so that we might know how to pattern our lives each and every day after the Christ child. O God, we pray that we would remember that your holy presence is available to us each and every day, not just today. That every day when our feet hit the floor, O God, may we seek your holy presence, your sustaining power, your gifts and blessings that will enable us to respond to the needs of the world, to respond to the needs of individuals whose lives intersect ours each and every day. May we, O God, faithfully respond with the light of Christ radiating forth from within each and every one of us. O God, as we journey through this season of Lent, may we be focused upon Jesus Christ and others, not ourselves. May we remember it's all about you and all about them. O God, as we come together this day to worship, to celebrate the gifts and the blessings that you've given to us, to return thanks in our prayers, our praises, our voices, our offering, O God, we are mindful of those that need to be lifted up in prayer. The names of individuals on our prayer list, the names of individuals, the situations, O God, upon our hearts that just cannot be made public. The situations, O God, around the world where there is a need for health and wholeness, for healing, for peace and grace and forgiveness. O God, we pray that your light might radiate forth from within us, that we might give the world hope, that we might live and give the world good news, that we, O God, as we live out our lives the rest of this day and in the days ahead, O God, may our lives be a part of that that you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. May we be your hands and feet, your eyes and ears, your voice. Oh God, use us wherever we are found. We pray for the mission and ministry of each individual and family represented here this day. We pray, oh God, for the mission and ministry of your church. May it indeed be a force to contend with that guides and directs the world, not the other way around. O God, we ask and pray in Christ's holy and precious name, as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture from Mark's Gospel this morning, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of the Gospel of Mark, for their teaching and claim upon our lives. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Last evening at the Saturday evening service, one of the songs either had a title or a bunch of words to the effect of happy days. And I just kept thinking of old Fonzie in his leather coat. Yeah, we have images that bring up a bunch of things. Ponies, binder twine, and mini boggins. But how many of you grew up with a big wheel? What, that was the three-wheeled one, right? What was the round one that had two big wheels that you could either go the same direction or opposite? Oh, how many know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm not crazy. But you know, there was a sit and spin, but that was the little thing you got on and spun center. But there was another one that had two big wheels. You would sit in between them and you could turn them, or you could make them go opposite and just sit and spin in a circle as well. Nobody remember the name of that one? Huh? Dizzy, yeah. How many of you had a Schwinn Stingray with a banana seat? How many of you remember sled riding down a hill and you made a ramp and you probably coated it with water like this last week or this week to come, and you and your neighborhood buddies would see who could go the farthest? How many of you on that stingray had something to do with a concrete block and a piece of plywood? Now, my stingray with that banana seat had a bigger back wheel than a front wheel. It did have a handbrake, and you made sure you didn't clamp down on that baby quickly. But it didn't go over the jumps well, so I would use one of my brother's bikes, and we'd go down that same hill we would sled ride in. It was steep enough that you could not put a mower up and down it, a hand mower. You had to go crosswise. It was not a long hill, but it certainly got us going. And we would go over jumps to see who could mark the longest spots and get the highest clearance. How many of you remember either that big well or sled riding or your Stingray bike or whatever it was? And how many of you ended up with a trip to the emergency room and had stitches involved? I've never had stitches for any of those reasons. The only time I had them was for wisdom teeth. Both our kids have made trips to the ER for lacerations under here. One was a biking accident, and one was climbing the shower curtain to get a bottle of soap. Don't ask me why she did that. I won't mention her name, but you can figure out who she was. Still at home. Last night, Abby said, I got $20, Dad, because you mentioned my name. I said, no, we're all talking about that tonight and this morning. But probably we've all done and had some of those moments when we did some of those Evel Knievel-type trips that ended up in a trip to the emergency room. How many of you, especially those over the age of 50, remember wearing a helmet? That's probably what I figured. Somebody last evening said, you know, we get all our kids now helmeted up with knee pads and elbow pads and wrist pads, and they're the ones that we have to take to the ER. He said, me growing up without any of that, I never had a problem. I downhill skied a lot when I was in high school, and we'd take family vacations and go skiing. And yes, my dad and the brothers and I, we would race from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. And some of those trips, it would take you an hour to come down the hill. It was so long when we were in upstate New York. Oh, one point my dad said, well, guys, we don't fall anymore. And I'm thinking, yes, we do. He says, no, we crash. Oh, okay, that would be true. And yet, well, that might explain some because we never wore helmets. But you go now into the helmet industry, and there are helmets for skiers and snowboarders and biking helmets and motorcycle helmets, and some of them are rather colorful or they have other appendages attached to them. I'm told you can even get helmets now where you can play your iPods through them. I'm told potentially there are helmets you can even talk on your cell phone while you're skiing, and that thought scares me. That might even be more dangerous than talking on the cell phone in the car. Helmets now are being worn by bull riders, by whitewater rafters, by skydiving. I'm not quite sure why you wear a helmet skydiving. If you're going to fall hard enough that you're going to hurt your head, you're probably going to injure your whole body and die. When my dad jumped out of the plane this summer, Abigail said, well, Pa, you know, you can jump out of an airplane without a parachute. You only do it once, but you can do it. He incidentally is going to do it again when he turns 80 in June. But I'm even told that now they're developing helmets potentially for kids in the car. I don't know whether that has anything to do with our driving skills or not. The lesson, though, in wearing helmets, wearing a helmet is no substitute for actually using the brain it protects. I mean, wearing proper protection to keep your head together and intact and from damage makes sense. But what kind of protection do you use to guard your spirit when tempted to take some ill-advised risk? What kind of holy helmet is best? If you now need an idea for Holy Hat Sunday, Holy Humor Sunday, come up with a holy helmet. The temptation stories in the Gospels give us a clear clue as Jesus venturing out on his own, beginning his 3-year ministry, he heads into the wilderness to engage in some extreme spiritual sports competition with the tempter. Now, in today's reading, the Gospel of Mark, we kind of have the Reader's Digest condensed version of the baptism and temptation of Jesus. Oh, we do get the sense that Jesus is preparing for his mission and ministry on earth, that he's gathering together his thoughts and his spirit, and that they were protected by Almighty God. The passage opens up today with Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan by John. We have to go to some of the other Gospels to know that it's his cousin. A voice from heaven breaks in as Jesus is coming up out of the water, breaking through the sounds of the rushing water. The Spirit descends. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Well, we know that Almighty God is the one who has given Jesus his identity. He's marking him as someone special. Someone who has found divine favor. In a very real sense, Jesus is being equipped and protected with nothing less than the full love of a divine parent. Oh, what a helmet to wear. Statistically, a child who is loved by mom and dad is more likely to take care of himself or herself because their parents' love is so freely expressed to them, and they want to make sure that their actions coincide with the teachings of mom and dad. But as we go out into the world, with temptations and potential hazards coming at us from all directions, our first line of defense for us today is to know that God loves us and God cares for us as well. Oh, we know in the Scriptures it says God cares for the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air. And how much more then must God care for us, children that God has created? We are God's beloved children because of God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's desire to be in relationship with each and every one of us. And with that knowledge and that experience built into each and every day that we have, we can realize that we have this one, Holy One, walking with us with every step that we take. And so our hearts, our minds, and our spirits can be better protected because we know that God is alongside us. Now, Mark doesn't explain much about the temptations. We just know that Jesus is baptized and he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. We turn to Matthew and Luke and we get more details. And we see that with God's love, that Jesus is able to shift hats, to shift helmets very quickly between the temptations of the tempter. He's standing at the bottom of that jump like a bully, bullying kid. Double dog daring Jesus to do something risky. And for Jesus to use the biblical helmet, he's not willing to bite. Satan says, "Satisfy your hunger and turn these stones into bread." But Jesus puts on the shell of self-denial, recognizing that everything comes from God and that God provides everything that is needed. Then they go to the pinnacle of the temple. "Jump off," says the bully. "Jump off and you'll land unharmed. If you're really so great, God will protect you." But Jesus again tightens on the strap of the helmet of common sense. Because Jesus knows that people who have real power and authority, that they don't need to show it off or to use it just to suit their own needs. And then there's that final big one. All the kingdoms of the whole world will be yours, says this bully, if you'll only worship me. And Jesus buckles on that helmet of humility and says that God is the only one worth serving and worth worshiping. Knowing who he was, knowing what he was about, knowing what he had to do to accomplish his mission, kept Jesus' mind sharp and guarded, kept his heart protected, not only in the wilderness temptations, but throughout the whole of his ministry on earth as well. And ultimately, even on the cross, when Jesus was challenged, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, come down and show us what a Messiah is really to be like," Jesus didn't even bite on that. Experiencing God's love, knowing our scriptures, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ's example in his daily life and living are probably the best ways in our lives for us to be spiritually protected as we move through our days as well. Think of it all as a helmet, as a holy helmet, for all occasions, even if we're just walking around our homes. God is with us. We are never alone. And may we use all that is available to us each and every day that we might be triumphant within God's kingdom on earth. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news of the scriptures, for the example, for the lifestyle, for the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that they might take root and be nestled within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And that we might go into the world and be your hands and feet, your ears, your eyes, your voice. For this, oh God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. I invite you now to stand in our Faith We Sing book, but there is a change or a correction. That hymn number is 2022. 2022. Let us stand and sing. Gracious and loving God, your Spirit is upon each and every one of us. May we receive your greatness. May we receive your power and presence in our daily lives and living, that we might go into the world to be the light of Christ to those in need. Bless us, empower us, strengthen us, O God. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.